we are in Psalm 119 for our meditation. I have been lately doing less of a sermon for our communion service than just a meditation, thinking about the words of the psalm that we're working our way through. And Psalm 119 is well known because it is the longest psalm in the Bible. Can't seem to find it at the moment. All right, there we go. It is. Remember when we were, when I was probably, maybe 12 or 13 or so, my brother was a couple years younger, we used to play with my dad's reel-to-reel tape recorder. And we had this project one time, we recorded the entire Psalm 119. He would read a section, I would read a section. I have no idea why we did that. And we don't have the tape anymore, so that's interesting. Alright, so Psalm 119, we're in verses 81 to 88. This is the Koph section. You look at the top of the section in your Bible, you'll see this shape. The Hebrew letter looks like a sideways U. Some commentators say it looks like an open hand reaching out for God to fill. And you will find that in this particular section, there is a real need for filling. Let's read the section, verses 81 to 88, then we'll talk about a few things in it. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So the tone of our stanza is trusting but under duress. Spurgeon said of this section, this portion of the gigantic psalm sees the psalmist in extremis. His enemies have brought him to the lowest condition of anguish and depression, yet he is faithful to the law and trustful in his God. This octave is the midnight of the psalm, and very dark and black it is. Stars, however, shine out, and the last verse gives promise of the dawn. That's his opening remarks on Psalm 119, verses 81 to 88. From the first line of this section, I gave our meditation the title, My Soul Languishes. The oppression of the soul in this section is not that of a sinner who calls for salvation, however, but a believer under pressure who calls for deliverance. Despite the low points expressed, he has a triumph of faith. As Spurgeon says, the sign of the dawn is there. He waits for God to answer. He isn't running away. So the first point is the word of calamity. So I use that word languishes in verse 81. If you look down to verse 82, my eyes fail. Fail is the same word. And then all the way down in verse 87, they almost destroyed me on earth. It's the same word. The basic idea of this word is to bring to an end, to bring to a completion. That's the basic concept. A discussion of this word in the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament says, the processes which are brought to an end may be either positive or negative. That is, something may be continually added to until it is full or complete, or something may be taken away from it until there is nothing left. The English word finish coincides very nicely with this word in that it too can have either positive or negative connotations. He's thinking about that word, thinking about the word finish. In English, we talk about a Finnish carpenter. He's the guy who goes around and puts the moldings around the windows, the baseboards at the bottom of the walls that finishes it off just so. Makes it, brings it all together. You don't have the ragged edge of the drywall meeting the floor and dust being able to get in. You cover that all over. It's finished. Or a work of art may have a particular kind of finish on it to bring out its features and protect it from the elements and so forth. So something that's finished is complete, is full, is just right. They used to talk about finishing school. I guess girls went to finishing school because they weren't quite finished yet until they got there. So bringing to a completion. But then of course, somebody says, oh, I'm finished. They know disaster has befallen. There's no more hope. Everything is a ruin. I'm finished. That's the cry. Well, that's what's going on in the psalm here. I'm finished. I am languishing. I am failing. I am destroyed. It's all the same idea. The word of calamity. And it is true that we sometimes find ourselves in places which seem at least near this kind of state or at this kind of state. So the word of calamity. The second thing is the psalmist's condition. There's an image in this psalm. It's one that isn't familiar to us, but if you look down to verse, let's see, why can I not find it? Verse 83. Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. So that one just passes right over us, and I had no idea about it until I read about it in the commentaries. In fact, the one I have this from Spurgeon's comments. It's also mentioned in a couple others. They all remark on this image, the image of a smoked wineskin. So here's what Spurgeon says. The skins used for containing wine, when emptied, were hung up in the tent. And when the place reeked with smoke, the skins grew black and sooty. And in the heat, they became wrinkled and worn. The psalmist's face through sorrow had become dark and dismal, furrowed and lined. Indeed, his whole body had so sympathized with his sorrowing mind as to have lost its natural moisture and had become like a skin dried and tanned. So that's the image. We're talking about being finished. This is the way he feels. He uses this image. Here's these old leather bags hanging from the rafters. The smoke of the fires have long since altered the suppleness and usefulness of those leather bags. I guess they would be used for patching things or whatever, but they were no good for their original purpose anymore. He's like that. He says, my soul languishes, as we've read in verse 81. My eyes fail with longing in verse 82. Verse 87, they almost destroyed me. We also see in verse 81, I wait for your word. Now this condition that he's in is one that has been of some duration. He has been waiting for an answer for the Lord to help him. Verse 82, I say, when will you comfort me? Waiting. Verse 84, how many are the days of your servant? He's waiting, waiting, waiting for an answer. And in the meantime, the arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. So here is his condition. He is worn out. He is brittle. He is broken. He is empty, he is waiting, and he is surrounded by enemies. The psalmist's condition. So this is how he feels. This is what he's talking about in this section. And then comes the enduring confidence. The waiting implies a trust in the ultimate outcome. Verse 82, when he says, when will you comfort me? He doesn't say, you're never going to comfort me. I might as well give up. I might as well walk away from God. He says, when will you comfort me? He anticipates the ultimate outcome. His focus is always on God's word, as it is in this psalm. I wait for your word, he says in verse 81. He says, my eyes fail with longing for your words, verse 82. Verse 83, I do not forget your statute. Verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. Verse 87, as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. So it is the word of God that he clings to. And this is what we constantly are driving at. The whole idea of the Proverbs lesson, the whole focus of our preaching is to focus on God's word. What does God's word say? What do we cling to? We have nothing else but what God has said. Our faith is a faith in the message of the book. It is that faith which transforms lives. When we find ourselves in those circumstances of life that we feel empty, we feel finished, we feel defeated, we have God's word. And so the psalmist comes to this. He holds on to this. It's his anchor. And so then comes the final prayer in verse 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness. That's that very famous word we've talked about so many times, chesed. It is the loving covenant loyalty of God. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a covenant with God. You have entered into the new covenant we'll be talking about again next week, next Sunday morning. And so you have this connection. And so he's calling for God to revive him with this covenant, with this relationship. James Montgomery Boyce says on this section, depressed but not defeated. For at the very end of this discussion of affliction and this anxious reflection on his enemies, he turns his gaze, his attention once again to God's word. The ancients had a saying. Here's the Latin. Dum spiro spiro. While I breathe, I hope. Okay? I used to read a similar thing in the Tarzan books when I was a kid. While there is life, there is hope. Tarzan is tied to the stake. The pots are boiling. The flame is licking. While there is life, there is hope. And of course, he always gets out of it somehow. Okay? Well, here the child of God does better. He exclaims, Dum expiro spiro. Even while I expire, I hope. Even where there is death, there is hope. Okay? He expected to be blessed. He expected God to take care of him. Think about those martyrs you read about in the Hawks's Book of Martyrs who clung to their faith. What were they clinging to? Were there enemies around them? Were they finished as far as this world was concerned? Were they in extremis? But they looked to the Lord, to His Word, to the hope. We were there on that street in High Street in Oxford last summer. That spot in the pavement, cross painted in the middle of the street. And Hugh Latimer and what's the other guy's name? I didn't plan to talk about them. Ridley, Master Ridley. They were burned to death on that spot. Archbishop Cranmer was also burned to death on that spot for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In expiro, spiro. While I expire, I hope. So the psalmist is saying that he expected to be blessed. A redeemed soul knows his Redeemer. And he knows his Redeemer has promised full redemption. So, yes, there can be very difficult times in this earth, in this life. Cling to God's word. This is where the psalmist is. Now, as long as God intends to keep you on this earth, then he will keep you on this earth, and you will get through the hard times. But you may end up in heaven, which would be better. Really? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. So cling to God's word. This is what the psalmist is saying. This is what the redeemed soul does. It looks to God. The word of calamity. Yes, it's calamity. Yes, it's a terrible situation. But there is something to be confident about. The word of God. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we close our meditation. Our Father, we thank you for this time as we thought about your faithfulness to your people and about the faithfulness to your word. Help us to be people who trust you and trust you in every extremity, no matter how difficult life is, that we would make you our God and always be your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.